Congress is back at full strength today. The Senate has another full work week in store, and the House is back after a recess last week. But a quick look at the agendas for each chamber does not show much is going on with funding federal agencies for fiscal 16. David Hawkins, senior editor at Roll Call, is here. He writes the Hawkins Here blog at rollcall.com and has an eye on the congressional schedule this week. I see all this stuff. They're going to do some 20-week abortion bill in the House and all this other stuff. And I don't see a whole lot that has anything to do with actually keeping the federal government operating, David. Did I miss something somewhere?
You didn't miss much. And in fact, not only do we know the schedule for this week, but at the end of last week, Kevin McCarthy, the House Majority Leader, laid out the schedule for the rest of between now and Memorial Day when they take the next break. And there is only one more appropriations bill on the House's the floor agenda between now and Memorial Day, and that's for the legislative branch, which is pretty easy stuff. In part, if they can't figure out how much money to spend on themselves, then they're really in trouble.
They should just give up.
So the dog that's not barking here is the transportation HUD bill, and here's why: that's the most substantive thing that the House committee is going to do this week is marking up the transportation HUD bill. It is so. In other words, it would be ready for floor debate within the next couple of weeks, but McCarthy is not mentioning it as a candidate for floor time. What that means, I think, is that they know that this is the first of the politically difficult bills that they're trying to move, and that they don't yet have the votes to do it. This was, for those with really long and detailed memories, it was the version of this bill 2 years ago that blew up in the summer. Republican moderates didn't think it was spending enough. Conservative Republican in the House, conservatives didn't think it was spending. It was too much in the Senate. Debates on both sides seized up in the middle of the summer, and that was sort of the first time we all of us who cover this stuff thought, well, maybe there will be a shutdown in the fall, and sure enough, there was. So I think this is an early warning sign that. Don't put away your dum de dum dum music just yet.
I've got it on standby. There's part of me that loves to play it because it just spikes things up a little bit, and there's part of me that hates playing it because of what it kind of connotes about the situation that we find ourselves
right.
in, David.
Right.
And you kind of anticipated where I wanted to go next, which is where this one and the Commerce, Justice, and Science bill that subcommittee is going to mark up on Thursday, where they fall on the spectrum, on the pecking order of politically difficult to politically easy, because you told me a couple of weeks ago appropriately that normally Milcon's easy. That one was hard this time around, and that kind of made the hair in the back of my neck stand up a little bit.
Right. I think you're exactly right. I think with each passing day, we are being given other more and more reminders that this is not going to be an easy year, for all the reasons we've discussed. The fact that they're in order to find a coalition that is willing to pass most of these bills, they are going to have to reopen the spending cap decision. It's pure and simple. And so the sooner they do that, the better. But they know that if they try and do it sooner rather than later, they'll run into more opposition than if they wait and do it later.
That sooner rather than later, I mean, it looks on the surface still to me like they're having success moving these things. But when we dig down into it, and it's not just when I talk to you, so don't think that you're the downer in the room.
Mm-hmm.
But as I look more into this and read more, hear the members speak more, it becomes, in my view, more jumbled, because there are some members who talk about doing a deal on the spending caps now. There are some who say, well, we should wait until we've appropriated, done the bills, and there's a conference. Some that say we should wait till the president signs or doesn't sign what he's going to sign or not sign. So, these are folks like Charlie Dent, who was on the program last week talking about, well, I think there's going to be a deal on the caps after all the bills are done. Well, that's probably is not going to work, it doesn't sound like, from the way that you're presenting this.
That could work. I mean, remember that there is nothing to prevent them from passing bills that exceed the caps. It's just if they do that, then there's this, automatic... The lawnmower kind of gets pulled out of the garage and runs over everything. So, most of them they all, almost all of them now, well, I don't know, the vast majority of them, I'd say, in both parties say sequestration, across-the-board cuts, bad way to do business, you know, abrogates Congress's authority to make decisions.
Yeah, which was
not
the point of it in the first place.
The
I'm glad they
it,
figured it
right,
out.
The whole point of you know, it was supposed to be the poison pill that they'd never be willing to swallow, and they swallowed it. So I think most of them would like to, in theory, would like to make the decision sooner rather than later, but I think they think as a practical matter, the only way to get it done is to have a little bit of anxiety and fear in many members when the axe is about to come down, and then they'll at the last minute say, oh, no, we don't want that axe.
Great. Great. That's just fantastic. Because it's causing anxiety and angst and everything in the agencies, too.
I mean, you know, right, absolutely. And we, you know, those of us, you know, and we chuckle about the dum-da-dum-dum music, and, you know, those of us who cover this, I'll plead guilty to being a little bit cynical and thinking it's all a game and it's all sort of goofy. But, you know, this is where people work.
Well,
you know,
and
we should, and I could stand to remember that a little bit more. And it's one of the reasons I like coming on your show is that I am reminded, you know, these are real people coming to work, trying to do good work for the government, you know, and Congress just makes it miserably hard for them unnecessarily.
And I plead guilty to making light of it, too. And I hope that folks that in the agencies know that the reason I do that is because it's such a terrible situation
right.
to be in. And sometimes the manifestation of dealing with something like that is gallows humor. But that's the situation. I mean, the only thing that makes me hopeful is some green shoots that I'm starting to see from some members who I think get it. And I think one of the manifestations of that is something that you mentioned a moment ago, which is the fact that there seems to be fairly wide agreement, both parties, both chambers, that allowing another sequester is really terrible.
I think that's right. And we do have, I mean, you mentioned Charlie Dent. He's a new cardinal this year. He's getting his first subcommittee. You know, he is one of the few of a fading group of socially fiscally centrist, socially liberal, suburban urban Republicans. There aren't that many of those guys left. The fact that he has got a seat at this table is a good thing.
What should we watch for on the, especially the Transportation, Housing, and Urban Development bill, to know that it's either headed for the same kind of trouble that we saw with Milcon, or that maybe something, some miracle has happened, and its way will be more smooth?
I think it's as simple as if they bring the bill to the floor, they think they can pass it, and if they don't, they won't.
In what kind
they
of
do not, they do not want another embarrassment like what I mean. That is considered really bad form to put a bill, you know, out on the House floor,
mm-hmm.
open to amendment, C-SPAN cameras are on, and then, you know, for the few hundred thousand people who actually watch this stuff, seeing that
be
it's
nice. I used to work there.
Yeah, I know. Me too. No, I wouldn't be able to do my job without it. To see in public it seize up like that was an embarrassment.
And is there a time frame that has to happen? Or, I mean, if they market this on Wednesday and maybe into Thursday,
mm-hmm.
is there a time frame through which we could say, oh, well, it's not going to fly because they can't get the votes, or is that not relevant here?
No, that's relevant. I mean, I think what you need to watch for is what's the one that's coming after, Commerce, Justice, Science?
Yeah.
If Commerce, Justice, Science leapfrogs it and gets that on the floor first, that's a sign that it's, you know, things are bollocksed up on the Transportation and Housing Bill. Or maybe it's going to be the case that they're going to just write a lot of these in committee and then not get much further down the track than committee. Remembering, of course, as you and I have said to one another many times, that writing these bills in committee is enormously important because in the end, you know, 90-95% of the decisions that are written get made in committee. There's the vast majority of these programs are not controversial. It's a handful of policy writers and a handful of spending decisions on each of these bills that become a problem. So if the bills get written in committee and they just sit there without going to the floor, that's not the worst possible outcome.
David Hawkins is senior editor at Roll Call, and I think you win an award. I don't think anybody in the four-year history of this program has ever used the term bollocksed up on the program before.
Oh, is that against the FCC's rule?
Only if we're in England. I think in the United States that's okay to say that on the radio. I think you couldn't say that if we were in London. But we're not, so I think you're fine.
Thank you.
Thanks as always, my friend.